Hello, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is March 17th, and we will be studying our environment article for this month. And we have a very interesting topic for you. But before we get into all that, allow me to introduce my friends in the studio with me. To my right, I have Linda. It's always great to be on the program with you, Linda.
Oh, well, thank you. Great to be here, Campbell.
All right, Linda. So do you have a lot of experience with virtual reality?
No, not really.
Okay. Well, we'll see what you think about this new use of virtual reality. All right, and we have Josh here. How are you doing, Josh?
Very good, Campbell. Thank you. Glad to be back talking about interesting topics here in Advanced.
Yeah, and today we do have a very interesting topic. And but before we start talking about that, we have a special guest here, Nathaniel. We have Nathaniel back from the United States. How are you doing, Nathaniel?
Hi there, Campbell. Doing well. Glad to be back here with Advanced and talking with you all.
Well, thanks for jumping on here. All right, so I've been talking a lot about this interesting topic, but I haven't actually mentioned what the topic is. So we're talking about virtual reality, and I feel like we talk about virtual reality a lot on Advanced, and we've talked about different applications for virtual reality, but today we are going to be learning about an interesting use for virtual reality. And what are we talking about today, Josh?
We're talking about how virtual reality can make us more environmentally friendly.
And what does that mean?
It means, well, besides just being friendly towards the environment, mm-hmm. but to have a better understanding of our practices and what we do that may help or hurt the environment. And if you're environmentally friendly, then you try and do things to help the environment.
Right. I think it just helps to raise the awareness.
Exactly.
Right? I think a lot of times we aren't aware about how our habits affects the environment.
Exactly. Right? Like, say, for example, many of us may not realize how much water we actually use mm-hmm. on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I know for me, you know, until it was there's a drought recently, you know, that I started being, and then the water got shut off, you know, and then that's when I was like, oh, you know, I use a lot of water.
Right.
You know, and water is really a huge part of my life. And so I think using virtual reality to help people become more aware of the environment and our impact on the environment, I think is a very smart application for this technology. So let's get into our article. We are on page 28 of our Advanced magazine, and the title is How Environmentalists Are Using Virtual Reality. So join us and let's read.
How Environmentalists Are Using Virtual Reality. Can technology make global citizens more environmentally friendly? Virtual reality is no doubt the hottest thing in electronics and entertainment today, with immersive 360-degree experiences increasingly available via the click of a mouse or tap of a screen. And while it's hardly a replacement for getting out into nature and experiencing life itself, environmental advocates are starting to use VR as a tool to help everyday people appreciate the natural world around them and the environmental challenges we face as global citizens.
So environmentalists are now using virtual reality to help people become more aware of our impact on the environment. What are environmentalists, Nathaniel?
Environmentalists are people who are concerned about the environment. They might mm-hmm. be worried about some things that the human race is doing that might hurt it, and mm-hmm. they want to change those habits and practices we have.
That's right. So these people are using virtual reality to make global citizens more environmentally friendly. And what are we referring to when we're talking about global citizens?
That includes all of us, like mm-hmm. everyone who lives on this planet.
Right. Citizens of the world, right? So we are all citizens of various countries, United States, Canada, France, France, Spain, whatever, right? Japan. So we are all citizens of various countries. But when we're talking about global citizens, we're just talking about human beings, right? We all live and exist on planet Earth.
Right.
All right. So virtual reality is not, it's relatively new, but it's been something that is kind of gaining more and more attraction over the past few years, right? We start off our article saying virtual reality is no doubt the hottest thing in electronics and entertainment today. Would you agree with that, Josh?
I would say it's very exciting for a lot of people, mm-hmm. right? So, and the idea to be able to make it readily available for a lot of different things, I think, is super exciting, especially in the gaming world.
Right. Can one of you kind of, I mean, most people should know what virtual reality or VR is, but can one of you kind of give a simple description of what it is?
I think it's I do often think of video games when I hear virtual reality. You usually put on a headset of some sort mm-hmm. that puts you into a completely different world, right. An animated world. Mm-hmm. So that's virtual because it's created with that technology, mm-hmm. and it seems like a separate reality, so virtual reality.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so we have the word immersive here, right? And that just means you're immersed. You're kind of completely involved in this environment. So as Nathaniel was saying, you kind of get put into this whole other world. And it's a 360 degrees. That means it's all around you experience. And it's increasingly available via the click of a mouse or tap of a screen. And what does it say about it being a replacement for getting out into nature?
Well, it says it's hardly a replacement for getting out into nature and experiencing life itself. So mm-hmm. it isn't a replacement for really going and, you know, breathing fresh air and,
right.
you know, seeing trees and lakes. But environmental advocates are starting to use it as a tool to help people just appreciate the natural world around them.
Mm-hmm.
And also to be aware of these environmental challenges that we face.
As global citizens. And so it's true. You can't use virtual reality to replace actual reality. There's still something to be said for going out into nature. I know, Linda, you enjoy going out into nature and hiking and all those things.
Right. So maybe that's why I'm not so into virtual reality I don't have that much motivation to try it out.
Right. Yeah. But there are practical uses for virtual reality, and environmental advocates, or as we were saying earlier, environmentalists, they are starting to use VR as a tool to help everyday people appreciate the natural world around them. Because, you know, for the most part, people who live in the city, they sometimes have a hard time getting out of the city. And so they have a hard time seeing nature and the world around them. So this is kind of an easy way for them to experience it without actually having to take the time to go out there. And it helps them to become more aware of the environmental challenges we face as global citizens. And I think that is a big factor, because a lot of times we're not aware. We don't think that, you know, okay, I just use a whole ream of paper and what that impact on the world is, right? Okay, so let's look at this next section here, making it real. How are these environmentalists using virtual reality to help people?
Making it real. One of this trend's leading lights is Stanford University's Virtual Human Interaction Lab, VHIL. Which works to design, test, and distribute virtual reality interventions that teach the concept of empathy. Virtual reality can give everyone, regardless of where they live, the kind of experience needed to generate the urgency required to prevent environmental calamity, Stanford professor Jeremy Bailenson told online magazine Yale Environment 360.
So there's a trend right now. The trend is that environmentalists are using virtual reality to help global citizens become more environmentally friendly. Now, one of the trend's leading lights is Stanford University's Virtual Human Interaction Lab, or VHIL. What does this mean that this VHIL is a leading light?
Leading light is really a leader of some kind. It could be an individual, or it could be a group that's very important in some kind of field. And this, you know, particularly being virtual reality and how they, how that can be used with different applications.
Right. So they're kind of the ones that are leading the parade in some ways. They're the ones that are kind of setting the pace, and they're teaching others, and they're kind of being on the innovative end of things. Right. So this VHIL, what do they do actually?
Well, they're working to design, test, and distribute virtual reality interventions that teach the concept of empathy.
What does that mean? What is this concept of empathy?
Well, the concept of empathy is really the idea that you can feel what somebody else is feeling, or that you can identify with what somebody else is going through. So if somebody's having a hard day or a rough time, you can feel empathy by sort of sharing in that experience with them a little bit.
Right. Yeah. It helps them to care more in a
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
Right. So virtual reality can give everyone, regardless of where they live, the kind of experience needed to generate the urgency required to prevent environmental calamity. So basically, you know, if you live out in rural areas, right, if you live out in the woods or you live out in the mountains, it's easier for you to feel connected with nature, right? So if something happens, you're more aware and you're more connected and you
sure.
care.
Mm-hmm.
But if you live in a city, it's not as you're not as likely to have that kind of experience.
I have a very good example of that, living in Costa Rica. So before, as some of our listeners may know, before I came to Taiwan, I lived in Costa Rica for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived in a small area that was close to the ocean that just so happened to be one of the beaches where the prevailing currents would gather up all of the trash that had been floating around in the Gulf and leave it right there on the beach. So even though there weren't a whole lot of people in the area throwing trash in the water, we got all the trash from the other areas, and it made it just ridiculous, actually.
Right.
And so, but unless you had seen that and known that that little piece of garbage that you threw away, you know, 100 miles away, or probably a couple hundred kilometers, actually, that you wouldn't really have any idea how much of an effect it would have.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so it's the difference between reading a news article and being actually a part of the news.
Exactly.
Right? So this virtual reality kind of allows people to be immersed in that, to be a part of that, and to see things like what Josh was describing, right? And it kind of creates this urgency. Because when you just hear about it, it doesn't create that kind of emotional urgency in you to do something about it. As much as, you know, if you're actually experiencing it.
It's true.
Right? And so this urgency is required to prevent environmental calamity. And what are we referring to, Nathaniel?
Well, when I hear calamity, I usually think of maybe some kind of accident or a big natural disaster, something something terrible that happens. And when it comes to an environmental calamity, it's something that really affects nature in a very negative way, which may come, the root cause of that may come from us, from humans.
Right. Yeah. So there are a lot of, I mean, we all know that the environment is changing. You know, there's climate change and different things that are occurring around the world, but a lot of us don't really understand how pressing it is, right, and how important it is for us to do something. So they are using this virtual reality to help everyone to have a better understanding. All right, so let's finish up our article on the right-hand column here. Let's start where it says, the ability to understand.
The ability to understand. One of the greatest challenges to staving off irrevocable climate change isn't simply getting buy-in from skeptical politicians. It's getting people to visualize how driving a gas-guzzling car or living in an energy-inefficient home is contributing to a problem that may only manifest itself completely in future decades. Earlier this year, the lab unveiled a short VR documentary and interactive VR game to help explain ocean acidification, a slow-motion and hard-to-explain process whereby excess carbon dioxide in the atmosphere dissolves in the ocean, upping acidity levels and altering marine habitats accordingly.
So according to this article, what is one of the greatest challenges of staving off these environmental calamities?
Well, it's not just simply getting buy-in from skeptical politicians.
Mm-hmm.
Buy-in being maybe financial support or vocal support, because politicians do speak mm-hmm. for these issues. So that's not the only challenge involved mm-hmm. here.
Right. Yeah. It's getting people to visualize how driving a gas-guzzling car or living in an energy-inefficient home is contributing to a problem that may only manifest itself completely in future decades. All right. Very long sentence. Let's break it down a little bit. Okay. So one of the greatest challenges to staving off irrevocable climate change. First, what is staving off, Joshua?
Well, to stave something off is to basically just to stop something bad mm-hmm. from happening, right?
Right.
So, or you can maybe keep an unwanted thing from occurring.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you would stave off something.
Right. Mm-hmm. So to kind of keep it at bay. Mm-hmm. And we have the word irrevocable here, and that just means irreversible. You can't reverse it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, once it happens.
Yeah. So once the climate change occurs, once these calamities occur, you can't reverse it. You can't fix it. So irrevocable, so unstoppable. The greatest challenge, not simply just getting buy-in from skeptical politicians, right, as Nathaniel said. It's getting people to visualize, right, and to understand how driving a gas-guzzling car or other things they're doing is contributing to the problem.
Right. Basically, what we're doing in our daily lives, how that is going to affect the planet and how that's going to bring about climate change in the future, right? Because we don't really think about that, oh, well, you know, if I drive my SUV, that's not really affecting things, and it's convenient for me. But through this, they'd be able to see, like, how their SUV might, you know, the irrevocable damage that it would cause the environment.
Right.
Later on down the line.
It takes time for these changes to show up, mm-hmm. right? You know, when you go out and you drive your car, it's not like automatically, instantly, the world's going to change and be destroyed.
Right.
But if we do continue to do that, and the compounding effect of millions and billions of people doing it, there's going to be change that will occur, as we say here, in decades, right? A decade is about a span of 10 years. So in 10, 20, 30 years from now, how that is going to affect our environment. And so that's definitely a good use for virtual reality, because most of us aren't going to be able to wait that long to see the effects of our decisions, but, you know, right away you can see through virtual reality what's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And we see here an energy inefficient home. What is an energy inefficient home?
An energy inefficient home would be a house, a home that does not use energy well.
Right.
Maybe, you know, with your heat, it's using a lot more energy than other more green or environmentally friendly technologies could in other homes.
Yeah, and it's simply something, it's as simple as, you know, fixing a leak in your window, right?
Sure.
Or, you know.
Or a leak in the faucet.
Leak in the faucet, right, exactly. Or not recycling your water or things like that,
right.
You know, and how maybe you can install solar panels and how that might be effective and useful and helpful. So different things like that, having an energy efficient home as compared to an energy inefficient home, and how these things are contributing to a problem that may only manifest itself completely in future decades, which just means that the results of these problems might only show up in 10, 20 years from now, not right now. Okay. So what happened earlier this year, Josh?
Well, so earlier this year, the lab unveiled a short VR documentary, an interactive VR game, right? So this is kind of interesting. So when you unveil something, mm-hmm. it means you reveal it for the first time.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we think of those like in the old car shows where they had the fantastic new car and it's all covered up with a cloth and they rip the cloth off to show the brand fancy new model. That's like an unveiling of the car.
That's right. And so they unveiled a short VR documentary. Now, Nathaniel, I know you're working on several documentaries, right? What is a documentary exactly?
Well, a documentary is a film, but it's a nonfiction film. Mm-hmm. Usually it has interviews in it. It's very informative to tell you about a certain topic or a certain person.
Mm-hmm. So the VR documentary, I guess, it rather than just sitting in a couch and watching the movie from a distance, you're kind of immersed into the documentary. And it's got an interactive VR game, so you can interact with this game and you can actually do things to change the results or change the environment of that VR game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it helps to explain ocean acidification. That's a big word, acidification. We see the word acid in there. What is ocean acidification?
And that's a slow motion and hard to explain process whereby excess carbon dioxide in the atmosphere dissolves into the ocean. That causes the acidity levels of the ocean to rise and also alter the marine habitats.
Accordingly, yeah. So there is a certain balance, right? We talk about the acid-base balance, and there needs to be a balance in the ocean to sustain life. If the ocean becomes too acidic, this can be detrimental to ocean life, right? And so that happens when excess carbon dioxide from the atmosphere dissolves in the ocean. And where does this excess carbon dioxide come from? I know when we breathe, we produce carbon dioxide, right?
So this idea would be, so the burning of fossil fuels, right, to take carbon that normally would be locked inside the planet, burn it, release it into the air, and since there's an excess of it, something has to happen to it. Mm-hmm. So it ends up getting absorbed by the water, and then it turns the water slightly acidic, like, say, a soda, right? Slightly acidic when it gets carbonized.
Yes.
And then that, of course, then throws off the balance of the water and affects life around the planet.
Right. So then ocean life, marine life, they're not able to continue to live, you know? And it alters marine habitats accordingly. So what do you guys think about this use of virtual reality? Do you think it's smart? Do you think it's practical? What do you guys think?
It seems to me like I remember going to, you know, like science museums and seeing a 3D movie about the ocean or some other scientific topic, and this maybe seems like the next step.
Right.
Making it virtual reality, putting you in the big picture.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I remember going to school a long time ago when they would play little, like, short, informative film reels about various subjects, which, you know, I mean, informative, but not really super impactive, unless it was really, like, a crazy film. I remember seeing something about driving safety that I probably will never be able to unsee. But this idea of really being able to immerse people in a situation where they can see the effects of what's going on, even sometimes at a super large scale as well as a super small scale.
Uh-huh.
I think that would really help show people exactly what's going on and how important their choices are.
I think it's very useful in teaching, right in the second paragraph, the concept of empathy.
Uh-huh.
You know, just being able to understand, like, the impact of, you know, our actions. And also to get people more concerned about the challenges that we're facing.
Right. Yeah, I think it just helps people become more aware. I think even just reading this article, I never even thought about this idea of ocean acidification, you know, and I think Joshua's description of it becoming like a soda was very good, and I think that's a really good way to explain that. But I think beyond explaining it and helping people to understand it, helping people to understand that, hey, you know, I have a contributing factor to this. You know, the car that I'm driving or the different things that I'm doing is causing all this carbon dioxide. And, you know, when we chop down trees to use the paper, then we're getting rid of even more things that will help to clean up the carbon dioxide. So everything that we do, all the choices we make affects the environment. And it kind of makes me think of an article we talked about earlier in the month with the elephant tusks, right? The ivory tusks, and how when we buy ivory, you know, that might be a small action, and we don't think too much of it. But when we support the ivory trade, we're actually kind of supporting this
massacre of elephants.
Yeah. So in the same way, you know, when we're using these gas guzzling cars, right? When we talk about gas guzzling car, we're talking about cars that kind of use a lot of fuel, and they're not very efficient in terms of their use of fuel. They create a lot of pollution, and the pollution ends up in the environment, creates carbon dioxide. This ends up, there's this huge vicious cycle that occurs. So this is a really good use of virtual reality. I think it makes people more aware and helps people to become more empathetic and to care more. All right. Well, there are other people that are jumping in on this trend and getting involved, and we'll talk more about that tomorrow. So please be sure to join us again for tomorrow's program. But for now, it's time for us to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.